your Lori Dubose as we welcome Fairhope City Council President Jack Burrell into the studio. Good morning, Jack. Thanks for being here.
Hey, good morning, Lori, and good morning, Fairhope.
And thanks for joining me on the phone last week with a last-minute request concerning the Eastern Shore Metropolitan Planning Organization adding the truck toll bridge to their trip or transportation improvement plan in order to secure funding and take the next step. For folks that missed that, you can find it on our website, as you'll be able to find this interview if you can't stick around for all of it. Well, I haven't seen you since previous to my vacation, so it's good for you to be back and good to see you. How's it going?
It's going well. Yeah, we were just talking prior to the show this morning that it's been a good while, maybe as long as a month, because we had about a three-week break between the last meeting in May and the first meeting in June, and I was on business travel the first meeting in June and actually missed it. You know, that's actually the first council meeting I have probably missed in like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, though. I have a lot of business travel. I'm usually able to work around it, but I couldn't do it this time. So it's been a while.
Well, thanks for being here. I know it's a lot of service for y'all to give. Definitely a full-time job with a part-time salary, or just about anyway.
I can't say that on the air. My company may be listening, Lori.
Right, right. Let's start with the work session, which starts at 4:30, as is customary, before the meeting's at 6. Discussion of a replacement of a 90-ton chiller or a new air conditioner at the Fairhope Public Library. Is that correct?
Yeah, we had there are two chillers there, and one of them went out, and so we need to get on that immediately because the one that is working, is operational, is going to be working, you know, way too hard to keep that library cool. So we had three different options. And so George Ladd, who's Assistant Public Works Director, will brief us on that. I think that we know which way we're going to go on that. It's actually on the agenda. But just before we do vote on it, he's going to give us a quick rundown on what our options are to replace that unit. And it was something that we did have budgeted for this year. We knew that it needed to be replaced and soon, so it is a budgeted item.
Oh, that's good. Because, yeah. See, don't I recall seeing a picture recently of buckets catching water dripping out of the library?
Yeah, I don't
roof.
Know how long that's been, if that was, you know, some leaks, but we got all of that fixed. We just spent, you know, $1 million on improvements and repairs to that library. Finished that up sometime maybe last year. So if there were more buckets catching water, I'm not aware if it was new. So,
okay.
Yeah, we've had some issues with that building, and flat roofs are, I guess they do work, but, you know, if I could avoid them, I would. But, you know, it's hard to also put angles on very, very, very large structures such as the library.
And it is also the second item on the work session agenda discussing a second floor build out. So the second floor now is just a shell, is that correct?
Well, it's been, you know, Coastal Alabama's nursing school had rented that out for many, many years, and they vacated that a couple of years ago. And so the library wants to present a plan for what their vision is for the second floor. So they just want to communicate with the city, since we're partners in that building, and let us know what they want to do. And I believe that they have the funds to do the build-out themselves, but they just want to make sure that the city's okay with it. I'm anxious to hear it. I know that some time ago that they needed to expand their youth programs considerably. I'm looking forward to tonight to hear exactly what their plans are, because I haven't been caught up to speed on that in quite some time.
Okay, and I'm glad you mentioned their plans and their committee. They actually have their own funding resource in addition to the city of Fairhope.
Right, yes. The city subsidizes the library, and, you know, it's pretty heavy subsidy, but they do, on their own right, generate a lot of money through library memberships and through fundraising efforts and charitable events. You have two different charities, the Friends of the Fairhope Public Library and the Fairhope Public Library Foundation, that both support that library. So we have a lot of community support, and I think that we have a good relationship with the library, and they're doing well. They're doing well. And, you know, during COVID, coming out of COVID, that library has really been used an awful lot. People think about online books and digital books and things such as that, magazines and newspapers, but our library is still very heavily used. So go visit them.
Very good. Let's move on now to the actual meeting agenda with Fairhope City Council President Jack Burrell. It's tonight at 6. I see that Police Chief Stephanie Hollinghead is going to announce some police department promotions. And then we're on to a public hearing. This is going to annex and zone property, the southeast corner of County Road 48 and Blueberry Lane, would be annexed and turned into a PUD or planned unit development if it is approved. Which corner is that? That's not the River Park Grocery and Deli corner, is it? The southeast corner, number 6.
I'm trying to figure out exactly where the Blueberry Lane is, and I've got the map here.
You know where River Park Grocery and Deli?
Yeah, I do know exactly where that's
at. And then the River Mill is almost directly across the street. That's Blueberry Lane.
Very, very close to that, but I don't think it's that. I think that this is, well, it may be across the street from that. It looks like just to the east of the River Mill subdivision.
Okay, and it looks like Fairhope Times reported that Single Tax Corporation is giving some land right there in front of River Mill to River Mill.
Yeah, I want to say that if we didn't already do that, some of this land was going to be some parkland, but this is not it, because this is a proposed 61 single family dwellings and 16 townhome apartments. So some R3 and then some R1. A little bit of a mix there. So this is not the land that Single Tax donated to be parkland. And I think I see that parcel that's going to be parkland just across the street from that. But it's, you know, if I'm looking, it was approved with some conditions from the Planning Commission. The density is about 2.5 units per acre. That's right about R2 zoning. We'll just have to listen. You know, this is the first read of this. We won't take action on this tonight. So I'll just have to listen to what planning has to say and get a little more educated on it tonight. But it looks like everything is in order on this subdivision request.
Okay. The public hearing says it's for to rezone the property and to annex it. It doesn't say anything, at least on the agenda, about 61 houses and 61 townhomes.
Yeah, I'm looking.
That's part of what they want.
I'm looking at my details, you know, in the book that I'm giving. Okay. And it says there shall be 62 lots total.
62 total. Not okay. I thought you said 61 houses and 61 townhomes.
Oh no.
As in
61. No, it says 61 single family dwellings and 16 townhomes.
Okay. All right. Sorry, so we got 76 new properties.
Correct.
Coming up, or 77.
76, and that is, it's 31 acres of land.
Yeah.
Now, 31 acres is a fairly sizable chunk of property there.
What about the rest of it?
Well, I'm going through this at the same time. Okay. As I look at this, I see a large retention pond. I see walking trails through a vegetated area. If you can, let me see if I can show you this. And for the people on the radio, if you just want to see how much of that is developed versus how much of it is not developed.
It looks like half of it would be developed and the other half might be some wetlands or park.
There may be a parkland, but it looks like it's only about half of it's being developed. And it's the half opposite of River Mill, so there's a giant buffer between this development and the River Mill subdivision.
Okay, all right. And we better move on, because we're only on number 6 and there's a 3-page agenda. Number 7 I thought was interesting, a franchise agreement for Coca-Cola Bottling Company to operate beverage vending machines.
Is something that they had a 3-year contract that we renew every year, and it expired, and so this is just a renewal under the same terms and conditions that they've had for as long as I can remember, as long as I've been on the city council. So,
okay,
but it's just required that we approve that franchise agreement.
It didn't say renewal. I wasn't sure.
Right. It did not, but it, I can tell you, it's not a renewal because it's a new contract, but it's the same terms.
I see.
It's a 3-year, so in 3 more years, it would have to be, it would be brought up to be a new contract again.
Number 8, declaring certain real property as surplus and not needed for public or municipal purposes. County Road 13 and County Road 2. This is a final adoption. I must have been out of town when this came up before. Is this for the roundabout
at 13 and 32.
Oh, okay.
And so the county, you know, wants to widen the road there a little bit. And so it's just 0.2 acres of land.
There it is. Construction use of a roundabout. Okay. I think folks have adjusted to those pretty well.
I think that they have done very well. And, you know, some of the complaints that we got, we understood that. We recognized that people had some apprehension. And I remember saying, let's just all see how they work out. I didn't know. I mean, not saying I was saying you're going to like it. I was hoping that people would like
right.
them. But since that time, I don't know, in the last several years, if I've received a single complaint about the roundabouts, people seem to like them. I think that they're doing the job well. And this would be just another roundabout added to that 13 Highway Baldwin County
right.
13 corridor.
Number 9, an ordinance repealing and replacing Section 2121 with the adoption of the following electric rates.
Yeah, so let me kind of go over that just a little bit.
I thought we already raised rates.
Well, we haven't raised the electric rates. We had raised water, we'd raised sewer, we raised some fees for gas. What this does on the electric is on our base rates. And just I'll talk about residential, that affects the most people. It's about $11.10 a month on your base rate. That's going to change.
More? $11 more a month?
It's $11.10 a month right now.
Okay.
Your base rate is $11.10. We're wanting to raise it to $13 or $1.90.
Okay, all right.
And we're not touching the electric rates themselves for your usage for that. So several of these categories, that went up $1.90. Now, let me give you a comparison. Baldwin EMC's base rate is $35. We're at $11.10 on our base rate. We're less than a third of their rate. So we're asking for a nominal $1.90. And that's a fixed cost, $1.90. So your rate would go up $1.90 a month.
So the actual usage rates are not going
changed.
Up.
It's not changed at all. In fact, there's one category in which they went down. And so across the board, the base rates went up anywhere from $1.50 to $1.90.
That was okay.
It. That's all right. All it is. And like I said, there's one... There's one rate that actually went down on the largest users, people that are using over 500 kilowatts. The rates actually went down.
That was for Thomas Hospital, right?
That is for the hospital.
Yeah,
that's correct.
Okay. Seems I recall a little issue. We've had
several discussions with them. We brought in, many consultants and studied this for many months. And the arguments that, they don't fluctuate in their usage and you can predict what they're going to use. The electric business is pretty complicated. And when you get unknown unexpected peaks in usage, you can drive up everybody's cost of utility. But a hospital, if you think about them, they're there 24/7, pretty consistent. You can go in a hospital in the middle of the night and it's like daytime going on
exactly.
in there. So they're not big peaks. And this is something that when you have a very, very high usage customer and it's highly predictable that, they pay a lower rate.
Okay. We're speaking with Fairhope City Council President Jack Burrell here at WABF. It is 8:39 and 77 degrees. Number 10... appears to be, as many of us have received stimulus checks throughout the coronavirus pandemic, here it says here that the city is going to receive from the American Rescue Plan and the Coronavirus State and Local Fiscal Recovery $1,941,458.
Yes, and, there's 10,000 different ways that we can use that, so... We're happy to receive it as a taxpayer. You know, I'll be honest with you, the federal government seems to be throwing around a lot of money, so I have questions about that. But if they're going to give it to everybody, you know, of course we want our share. That's the problem with opposing these things. If you say you don't want it, well, somebody else will get your money. So we'll certainly take our $1.9 million, and then we will debate in the upcoming budget year what we will use that for. I could give you a couple of ideas real quick. You know, we need another well, and we need another water tower, which is a couple of million dollars, and so we could easily see it going to something like that.
It does say to be used in compliance with Section 603C of the Social Security Act. So, like you said, it's comes with strings attached.
Right. Yeah. And I know that we could use it for infrastructure improvements. So.
Okay.
And we've got, you know, just millions and millions of dollars through, you know, between the Restore Act and this act alone. That's almost $12 million in funds received to work on our infrastructure, which is, if you look around town, I know you want to ask me about this also, there's a lot of improvements going on throughout the city right now.
Yeah, we are the Church Street infrastructure, sewer improvement, utility improvement is getting ready to encroach right in front of us here at the radio station. And it will continue eventually all the way to Morphy, correct?
That is correct,
because that's
yes.
Where the main sewer line, or one of them, is?
It's one of the main sewer lines. It's one of the oldest, you know, going through directly through the almost the heart of the central business district. It's one that's heavily used. It gets a lot of runoff. You know, you've got all the concrete downtown. You got parking everywhere, parking structures, and all that flows downhill. We're kind of, you know, kind of at the we're not at the top of the hill, we're not at the bottom, but this is kind of the first north-south corridor below the top of the hill, and it's got to go laterally somewhere. So we, you know, the sewer system here, stormwater system here does collect that. And so, you know, they're not only upgrading water, sewer, storm water runoff, we could be putting conduit for fiber optic cable in the ground. You know, we're trying to fix everything that we can while we've got the ground opened up. So we just ask everybody to be patient and bear with us. And we're just, you know, these growing pains are going to be with us for several years.
And I see number 16, more water improvements, a water main replacement on 181 and to County Road 34 for $23,500.
Yeah, and that's just for the engineering services for that. I believe that job itself is going to be it's part of a $900,000 worth of citywide improvements to the water system.
Number 18 took me aback, $226,940 for an electromagnetic new scoreboard.
Electromech, that's the company.
It's Electromech, new scoreboard, video message board.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, and if you see the high school is paying $176,000 of that.
Why? $176,000.
It's a good question. They came to the city and asked for a commitment of $50,000. I was originally at $25,000. The mayor twisted my arm, talked me up to $50,000. You know what happened? Somebody from Fairhope went to see a ball game somewhere, and somebody had a better scoreboard. So not to be outdone, we've got to keep up with the Joneses. I don't know how to say it, but that's exactly what that is.
You know, when y'all toss around more money than a lot of us make in a year, it really just
I know, I catch it from you every time.
To no end.
I know.
All right, let's see here. Number 19, Nick Center Repair Replacement Asphalt Roof Shingles. Now that you own the building, you have to repair it as well, right?
Well, we've owned the building. We didn't own the land.
I see. Okay. Yeah, so it was a lease.
Right, it was a lease. From the school system, so we've always owned that building, so that's something that we've needed to be done. That's a budgeted item, and it's nearly not a bad price to replace that roof, so especially given today's you know, cost of construction building conditions. So yes, we will. And in fact, you know what, we're also filing an insurance claim on this. This was damaged during Hurricane Sally.
Okay, all right, good. And while I'm fussing, hats off for y'all saving over, what, $150,000 by doing the utility tray services restored to the Fairhope Pier.
Really saved close to $200,000.
Yeah, so I do have to give credit for that, and I have bragged upon y'all many times over that. So thank you
well,
for that.
Well, and thank the Public Works Department, because it is something that... you know, it puts a lot of work on them, but and takes them away from other things that need to be done. But, you know, quite honestly, we've used that Public Works Department to do a lot of the work within our own city for many, many years, and I'm glad that we could I shouldn't say talk them into it, but coax them into doing
come
that
into
for us.
It, yeah. Come up with a plan. That
right.
Part, yeah. Page three, there's actually 31 items on the agenda. The rest of this looks like budgeted purchases, pickup trucks, and whatnot, the chiller for the library. Is there anything on here you want to mention that I have not?
No, like you said, everything from item 20 to basically 29, which is the last real agenda item. We have public participation and the adjournment as items, but those are pretty standard operating procedure. Other than 25, we have someone that wants to hold a chalk event on the sidewalks at South Beach Park. It's a 3-hour event, and that's something that we will typically allow be something that's unobtrusive, and that's the only thing that's not an ordinary purchase request.
Okay, all right. And anything you want to mention not on the agenda that I haven't thought to ask yet?
Yes. You were going to ask me about some turn lanes.
Twin Beach Road. Scheduled to start this morning. I haven't
it
been that direction.
It should start today.
To
that's going to start today. That's an ALDOT project. I believe... I've got the actually didn't bring the details in. They're in my truck outside, but I believe we're contributing 10% to that. If you're familiar with that, that's the intersection down near the highway. There's a gas station
school,
on one
yeah.
corner, and at busy times of the day, because people can't turn right. There's no turn lane. That intersection gets very backed up. People sit through that light sometimes multiple times. We're the city's. Portion of that 10% is going to be in-kind services. We're going to relocate utilities. There was a gas line that needed to be relocated there, so that's going to alleviate a lot of congestion at that, and we do anticipate that being completed by the start of the school year.
Okay. Fairhope Times posted new mini cell phone tower erected outside of Walmart. Hundreds more may be coming around town as the new 5G service becomes more popular, according to city leaders.
Yeah, that's a. I wasn't familiar with that. I got something as I was once again when I was walking in here. I got an inquiry from the media, and I'm going to look into this a little more to make sure that that was approved. But we have warned everybody that with this 5G technology, they have to be placed so close together. People better get ready for the aesthetics of this, because I've said this now for several years, it's going to require hundreds of these towers. Hundreds. They have to be put about every 400 feet, I believe.
What about some of the research and some of the opinions that say this 5G is dangerous to our brains and our bodies?
I haven't seen any real science that says that. I haven't seen any science that proves that. So
well, with a cell every 400 feet, that might contribute.
Well, it might, but everything that we have, our cell phones are streaming, there's microwaves going through our bodies every second of every day. Sitting right here right now, they're passing through us. I don't know if it's any more than the radiation that we get from the sun. I'm assuming that's been studied, but I've seen the people saying that the 5G technology is dangerous to our health, but I haven't seen I'm not into that kind. I'm a scientist, but not into that kind of science. But I've never seen a report from a legitimate source that said that was dangerous.
Okay.
But we better be aware of what's coming. And the problem, once again, is we have unincorporated areas of town. And then what can these people put in these unincorporated areas?
Whatever
they just
they
put
want.
The big cell phone tower right outside the subdivision
right.
on 181. It is an eyesore, and the residents are upset. And you know, we can only do what we can do. And when people don't want to annex them, they think that that greed is not greed. We're trying to protect your quality of life.
Okay.
So we have to think about that.
And that's a good point. But then number six, there's going to be 30-something acres annexed and another 76 houses.
Yeah.
So, but...
Well, but they're outside the city limits right now. They're annexing in. So
they could build anyway.
They could do it anyway.
Right, so what's the advantage then to annexing in?
Say in the city of Fairhope, it drives property values up if you say you're in the city limits.
What does the city make?
Well, the city's going to make some tap
connection fees and all that.
Yeah, the tap fees that I just mentioned. They're going to make that. If we didn't make them, the county would make them. We'd still be serving them.
Right.
Most of the time, a developer wants to, if they're in this area, they want to be in the city of Fairhope.
Okay.
You're gonna see, especially with the Barnwell Historic Landmark District, with the Senate Bill 107 that passed, big sweeping changes are coming. The city is going to be limited in what we can enforce outside of our city limits. And so, people, if you're not a part of the city, and you're concerned with what may be built next to you, you might want to consider becoming a part of the city.
Then again, some folks decided to officially become part of the county by creating a zoning, right?
That's right.
What's the difference? If you could,
there's county zoning, and then there's unzoned county,
and then there's annexing into the city.
Yeah, and there's annexing. A lot of the concerns that people have, and I would say the majority of the land that surrounds Fairhope that's in a county is unzoned county. So you can petition the county to zone your land, and people have done that. And then those people were even and they were successful in an election, and that election result has been challenged. So even when you do that, you can be challenged. So I'm not saying that all zoning is necessary, and I'm not saying that everybody needs to join the city of Fairhope. But, you know, I can tell you that I had a friend that was in favor of the Barnwell Landmark Historic District, and there was something proposed for about 20 acres adjacent to his property. And he called me and asked me, hey, what are they putting in next to me? And I said, I don't know, and I can't do anything about it. And so, you know, you need to consider those things before you cast that vote. I mean, zoning's not all evil. It can be beneficial.
Very good. Anything else, Jack?
No.
We run out of time?
Nope, I believe that's it.
Thank you so much, as usual. Fairhope City Council President Jack Burrell joining us this morning. Fairhope City Council meets tonight at 6 in regular session. You can watch it and the work session at 4:30 on the city's YouTube channel. Thank you, Jack.
Yes, thank you.
You can also listen to this interview later, usually posted by lunchtime, on our website, WABF1480.com. It is 8:53 and 78 degrees.
From the Spring Hill Toyota Traffic Center, Mobile Police continues to work an accident with injuries at 3-Notch Road at Travis Road. Make way for emergency personnel there in the Theodore area. Other accidents, Dolphin Street and the overpass to I-65, but traffic's still moving along pretty well through that area. It was just a fender bender. And no delays right now, including the Bayway Causeway through the tunnels or through Baldwin County. At Spring Hill Toyota, 3062 Government Boulevard in Mobile, you can buy your next car online, springhilltoyota.com. It's just that easy. You can get a new 2021